From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Chuck and Barry with the General, Tyler Scott here with you.
Tyler Lee Scott
for another segment before we will be experiencing the presence of his absence. The master, what do they call those guys? The role model and the Falcon will return on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, John Lee the master, AJ's the role model.
The role model.
And Fred the Falcon. And they will be back on Wednesday. Again, the HD show will be sitting in on Tuesday, and then they'll take it on into the new year.
Word. Hey, before we do hot routes, Tony tweeted a picture of Rainbow Bright cereal. And it does have Rainbow Bright on the front.
Interesting.
So that is one.
This one.
Also, Lamont tweeted a picture. He said, you want females on cereal? How about females and breasts? And you know the nerds had a field day with this. It was a Scooby-Doo cereal with Velma and Daphne, who I was going to say Velma and Louise at the break, and you corrected me, Shock. Thank you. Velma and Daphne on the front with Scooby. But it's weird because it's like some Mexican bootleg cereal because it says arroz frutados. And I don't know, what does that mean?
Can we get a translation?
It's not arroz like in rice.
Why did you look at him for
He's
a translation?
Spanish.
That's racist,
man. That's not racist.
Jose, did you hear that? It's not arroz like rice. It's A-R-O-S. What does that mean?
I don't know why, but it is supposed to be rice. It's like some sort of dry rice cereal.
Fruit rice.
I don't know
so
why
it's like
they
a
call
rice
it that.
Cereal.
It's
really?
Fruit rice?
Rice and fruit. Fruity rice.
Jose, what's wrong with you people?
Fruity rice.
Now, see, I say it's racist because my wife's Mexican, and if we would have looked to her for a translation,
she would have had no idea.
She would have looked
but
at you like
But it's
well
known on the state.
Doesn't speak
yeah,
Spanish.
She doesn't speak Spanish.
Yes.
I know okay. Jose speaks Spanish.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you know, because otherwise you're racist. Also,
I apologize if that was racist. I'm sorry.
I'm just giving you our time. Josh Rapp tweeted, there is a marshmallow pebbles with Wilma on the front. Including the pearl necklace that Fred gave her.
So we have three.
Is this why she had her hair up all the time? just occurred to me.
That's why she always had it in a bun.
Just occurred
and
to me.
Pulled back. Yes.
Just occurred to
That's,
me.
That's
correct.
After a hard day at the quarry.
To come home and...
After his bowling
match. Nothing like a...
Twinkle Toes Flintstone makes his way home. Hey, by the way, we are not exactly on a Carrie Fisher death watch at all. Her brother has told the AP she is now in stable condition.
Ah, good. Very good.
If you hadn't heard, Carrie Fisher suffered a massive heart attack, cardiac arrest on a transatlantic flight. Several passengers apparently assisted in giving her resuscitation. May or may not have had her heart stop for 10 minutes. I don't know. But her brother has told the Associated Press that she is healthy, and apparently the force remains strong.
Very good.
That one.
Very good.
Here is a part of the program we usually turn over to Tyler on Sundays. We're going to give Jose the spotlight tonight, the last Friday before Christmas, and don't mess this up for baby Jesus. This is Jose and the Hot Routes.
Hot route! Red 7, Josh!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot route!
I don't... What is hot route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
So, the way this works, Jose is going to ask us a couple of questions, four to be exact. We're going to go around the table and give a very quick answer, including Jose, dude. So you're not off the hook for
opinions. You have to answer these as well, man. That's how we do it on Sundays.
You probably weren't thinking of that when you were putting these four questions together. So
That's
now
how
you're
get them.
Now you're on the
I
spot.
I was not.
What you got, man?
All right, the first one's an easy one. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Hell no.
What?
No.
Oh,
absolutely not.
Them fighting.
It
words.
Is an action adventure movie, and it happens to take place around Christmas, but it is not a Christmas movie.
Can I tell you, when I was thinking about what we were going to talk about on this show, I actually was taking pride in the fact that I think this station as a whole made it through the entire season without that coming up.
And then Jose happened.
Yeah. Then no, they talked about it on the national side.
It's as ubiquitous as the VY.
But it was one of the
quarterback thing around here.
Paid shows.
Don't you say anything bad about VY, damn it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. No, it's not. It's not a Christmas movie. It's a movie you watch at Christmas. It's a movie that takes place during
a movie that you watch at Christmas. Normally is a Christmas movie.
No, exactly. A movie about Christmas stuff. Like
if Scrooge, Star Wars happened at Christmas time,
it doesn't make it a Christmas movie. It makes it.
I'm not going to back off of this.
It's not a Christmas movie.
If it don't involve baby Jesus or ghosts, I don't know. This is weird now.
Well, Ben Kenobi was a ghost.
Oh, that's true.
Ben Kenobi, we can go.
It's kind of true. All right. No,
Jose, and lightsabers are like ornaments.
Stop it.
No.
So you say it is a Christmas movie, Tyler.
Yeah.
Jose, what say you, my man?
I'm with Tyler. If you watch it during Christmas, it's a Christmas movie.
Boom.
That's why producers don't make that
much. I was going to say, this is why you guys produce. And
we control your mics.
We're the talent.
That's right. Well, I think some would say otherwise.
Yeah. Question number two.
At what age did you stop believing in Santa Claus?
Ooh.
Haven't reached that age yet.
Like Buddy the Elf.
Yeah, shouldn't you have warned people that if they're driving with their kids?
Oh,
I still believe. I'm a big believer.
Spoiler
in Santa
alert.
Claus.
Dude, we already did that once. At least I gave folks a chance.
No,
you're
but
just out there crushing dreams.
If you're a loyal listener of The Blitz, by now you're tuned out anyway.
What? That's true.
Gee, or, thanks, Tyler. No, or, thanks for the vote of confidence. We're not getting that enough on the text lines and Twitter.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Pretty much.
But also, if you have kids,
left out there.
They always say, don't have your kids around. That's why there's a parental advisory.
On The Blitz?
Yeah.
Which didn't play before this segment.
Oh, no, it did.
But,
yeah,
no,
yes, it did.
I'm a big believer.
Well, when did you? When did it happen for you?
Hasn't happened yet.
I want to say, honest to God, I think I was 8. That seems old, but I think I was 8 or 9. About 8. Jose, you still believe?
Probably like second or third grade.
Second or third grade?
That'd be about 8. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Clutch City Cam says Die Hard is a Christmas movie. How dare you, Barry? But this is also the guy who cries during Modern Family.
I have cried in Modern Family. I have. It's that's a fact. I don't deny it.
Did you really?
Yeah. Totes.
All right.
At the end of the last season when they were at the airport, that was sad. That was sweet.
Hold on. Spoilers.
That was sweet.
I haven't got to that.
Listen, we just said that Santa Claus ain't real.
You just
you
ruined it.
You can get Modern Family ruined for
Tyler.
I don't care.
They went to the airport. The whole episode's ruined now.
Yeah.
Spoiled.
Oy. All right, what's next?
Next.
What's the best gift you've ever received, and what's been the worst gift you've ever received?
Oh. Go ahead, Chuck.
Worst gift I've ever received. The gift of nothing.
Okay, you didn't get anything?
Yeah.
All right, you probably deserve that. What was the best?
It might be the worst.
What was the best?
When I was about 8 or 9, I got a pinball machine. Like a life-size.
Like a big in the garage pinball machine?
It wasn't one like you would see at the arcade, but it was big enough for an 8-year-old. It was one you could stand up and play, and it kicked ass.
All right.
And I know the old man was up all night drinking hard, putting that thing together.
Yeah? Tyler? Yeah.
Best gift and worst gift?
Yes.
Ooh.
You should have been thinking about this while he was talking.
Well, I was telling Jose.
Well, this is not good.
I don't know. Probably a bike.
Okay. Any bike? BMX? No,
it was like a BMX
bike.
Was it
a Diamondback? Yeah. Was it like an incredible Hulk
bike? It was a
bike?
Haro. Huffy? I think. It was a Haro.
Huffy?
Yeah.
Banana
Haro.
Seat?
Haro? What the hell is a Haro?
That was like a freestyle BMX bike.
Oh, okay. Did you have pegs?
Yeah. Pegs. And where,
dude,
the thing
you
where you could
sissy bar.
Spin your handlebars around. Cables wouldn't get tangled up.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay. Sweet. Worst.
Extreme.
Worst gift?
Worst. Extreme. I don't know. Probably like socks.
Socks? Okay. My best gift ever, I got an Atari.
I probably use the socks more than the BMX bike, though.
Yeah. Oh. When I got the Atari, I really thought the joy that I had, I was maybe 9 years old. I really thought that's what an orgasm was. I thought that's what it was. Worst gift ever was and I told this earlier this week, it was the year that my grandmother gave me my recently dead grandfather's hospital gown as a robe for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
You never heard that story,
no,
Tyler?
No.
Oh.
I did read the tweet about...
I thought you were going with the onion. No, that wasn't for me.
Yeah, I saw that tweet where your grandma gave an onion in a paper bag
to your friend. The story again next segment because we're not going to have time now. But I'll tell the story again.
That Atari did remind me of when Pac-Man came out on Atari, and it was the biggest gut punch of all time because it sucked.
What?
Nothing,
oh, you know what? It
nothing
did
like the it wasn't arcade the same. Game.
You are right. You are right. Jose, make it quick, man. What is yours, best and worst?
Best, probably like some pair of Jordans for my parents.
Okay.
Worst, probably like an ugly sweater or something.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like baby sister. That would have been like
a rosary.
Yeah.
I'm like, God, I get one every year, abuela.
Rosary. That is great. All right, cool. Was that four or was that three? One more?
You've got one more.
Let's do it.
What Christmas tradition do you think is overrated?
Mm. I was going to say something highly inappropriate, and I'm really glad. Yeah, I cannot. You know what I've learned today? No crown in radio. It's really hard to censor yourself. But I will say, overrated turkey and dressing and
we don't do dinner like that.
Yeah, the dinner, the Christmas dinner, the traditional. Turkey and
you know why?
Because
you just did that nonsense at Thanksgiving 3.5 weeks
exactly
ago.
Exactly why it's overrated.
That's why we go.
That's why a lot of people are doing like prime rib now for Christmas, which is legit.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. We've been doing that in our family for the past few years.
What is your overrated traditions?
Waking up early to open presents.
Okay.
Just waking up early in general for the birds.
Hey, Demetrius wants to know why Houston Game Day doesn't come with a warning audio label. On Sunday mornings.
We tried to do that, but Barry's too lazy.
Can you do a fake one?
Yeah, I guess we could do that.
I do say some inappropriate things on Sunday. Mm.
For the time slot, it's very inappropriate.
I know.
In proportion to...
Hey.
409 says, damn right, Die Hard's Christmas movie. The limo driver plays that funky Christmas rap. 512, worst gift, new towels from a girlfriend in front of her family.
Stop.
New towels.
Yeah. Did you ever say what you don't like? Or were you with me on Christmas?
I actually
dinner?
Did get kitchen towels 2 years ago. My ex-girlfriend gave me those, and she did give me a Foo Fighters ticket.
Were you ex at that time?
No.
You were still current?
We were still together. She gave me Foo Fighters tickets to a concert in D.C.
Uh-huh.
We broke up about a month later. She kept the tickets and went.
And took another dude?
No, she took some other girl.
I wish she would have taken another dude. That would have been a way better story.
She's apparently married now. I don't know.
Is she?
Yeah.
To one of the Foo Fighters?
Dude, that'd be so cool, though.
Pat Smear.
See how that worked out.
Lovely. All right. Hey, let's take a short break. We are with you here till 7. It's Shock and Barry and Tyler. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5. Your home for the Blitz with Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman is ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
It is Houston Game Day on the Blitz. Your Friday before Christmas, Shock and Barry with Tyler. With you till 7, Jose running the buttons and the wheels and all that cool stuff over there. Fred, AJ, and John will be back on Wednesday. And we've got a lot of people saying Die Hard, their go-to Christmas. This is like been done about a billion times.
Well, like I told you guys at the break, I have actually moved Elf up ahead of A
number
Christmas
one,
Story.
For really? Sure.
Yeah, and I love A Christmas Story.
Christmas Story is my number one.
I love watching that show or that movie. It's great. But I just think Elf is it's so good, and it's like
it appeals to a mass audience too.
Yeah, and I think it's underrated as far as, you know, good Christmas movies to watch that are entertaining that you can put on and the family's in there, because some of that stuff, like my wife likes It's a Wonderful Life, and I'm like stab me with a fake limb off the tree, please.
You know what's
funny
is horrible. Is that movie was universally panned when it came out.
Oh, really?
Well, Jeremy Stewart, what do you mean you don't like it? And all these years later, it's one day it's going to be in the canon. Christmas classic.
Uh-oh. I heard it.
Yeah, I heard it. I want him to keep going.
It's a little
Harry Carey. I want him to to keep going.
Christmas special is my go-to.
A Christmas special?
I mean, a Christmas story. And I would get it if you all didn't grow up with snow. And there's a lot of weather in that movie that kind of reminds me of being a kid a lot. I would get that. If people down here watch that movie, they don't quite get it.
But, I mean, we turn it on. We'll turn it on, and it'll cycle through, you know,
on, I think it's like TBS or TNT that does a Christmas story 24 hours.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. We'll turn it on and open presents and all that.
Ralphie's dad, my dad was very much that guy.
Fragile.
Well, not that part, but my father worked in profanity the way a great painter would work in oils or acrylics.
Really?
That was my dad.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Nice. I don't know if they I don't know if they were drinking wine at 10 o'clock on Christmas morning. I suppose it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of him in that. My mom was a lot like Ralphie's mom.
I do like the fact that that movie is universally accepted and appreciated and enjoyed. And then there's like, you know, there's the undertones of the, you know, the dirtiness, the cussing. And then like at one point it's pretty racist when they go to the Chinese food and they're all rah, 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 rah. Like that's so racist. But everyone's like, it's Christmas.
I'm also assuming 1950 whatever. Cleveland, Ohio.
But that wasn't made in 1950.
It was made in the 70s, right?
Yeah, but if you're...
You didn't have to do the rah-rah-rah-rah because it's not the 50s.
Well, it would have been worse if they'd gotten white actors to play them.
Yeah.
Like, they knew what they were doing.
See, I almost said something else.
And now they're a classic as well. They're part of it.
Yeah, agreed. So I'll tell you real quick the story about the worst Christmas gift I ever got. We talked about it a little bit last segment, and I told it earlier in the week. So... essentially, that was the year that my grandfather had passed away from cancer. He was in the hospital for most of the year. My grandmother is notorious for giving people robes and house shoes. Like, you know you're going to get house shoes each year when she asks you what shoe size you wear. She never writes this down. She never...
Dead giveaway right
there. Yeah. Or if she came up and said, let me measure your waist real quick, and got her tape measure out and measured, you knew you were getting a robe. So that year
she's
I got my...
crafting a pair of parachute pants for you?
No. And so she measured my waist that year, and I opened my gift, and it's a blue robe. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's very thin, like very thin. And then in black Sharpie, she had written my name on the breast area of the robe. And I'm like, well, that's weird to write it in Sharpie. And as I'm putting it in my left hand, I kind of glance on the inside, and I see my grandfather's name, Mel. And I was like, why is Mel's name on my robe? And why is this robe, like, really thin? And then the robe did not also have a sash that came with it. It just had two ties in the front, and I'm using air quotes for front. And then it dawned on me that this is not a robe at all. This is a hospital gown.
Oh,
and it's my dead grandfather's hospital gown. And on the sleeves was blood from all the IVs.
Oh.
And that was my Christmas gift.
That makes it vintage.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it smelled like dead grandpa. Whoa. It was the worst gift.
How old were you?
I was probably 10, 11.
Try that on.
That
Mary.
Probably would have made me stop believing in Santa.
I was already past Santa, but it also, it made me. Yeah, she made me.
It was
horrible. It was absolutely the worst thing.
All cringe.
Yeah, and one year she gave my brother-in-law an onion for Christmas because he showed up and she wasn't expecting anyone. She was like, "Oh, everybody's got to open something." So we thought, you know, she was notorious for like getting gifts from garage sales for you. One year, my sister got a can opener that had food dried on it.
Oh.
It was rusty and had food, like dried food on it. So one year, she's like, oh, I didn't think Brandon was going to be here for Christmas. I need to go get him something. I'm like, you don't need to go to the store. She's like, go to the store. And she goes outside into her garden, gets an onion.
Oh, it's fresh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Puts it in a brown, organic. Puts it in a brown paper sack. Rolls it up, like folds the corners and tapes it, and then writes "To Brandon from Santa" on it. And that was his Christmas gift.
Every time you've told me that
beautiful.
Story,
oh,
I think
goodness.
Of The Wedding Singer when Robbie Adam Sandler gets paid in meatballs.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
My grandmother would try to pay you in meatballs, probably. That is a fact.
936 texting in, best Christmas movie, Santa versus Satan. And I don't know if this is the same
one.
There was a movie put out in 1959 for children called Santa Claus versus Satan, and I just watched a trailer on YouTube, and it is a total acid trip. And I don't know if it's
Barry,
the
you
same
should wear your glasses while you watch that.
Yeah, that
make
he
it
is
worse.
Referring to
make it 3D
936, but yeah, that ain't Christmas cheer. That's Christmas fear, man.
That's creepy.
I like Bad Santa. Bad Santa's probably in top three.
I haven't seen the first one, but the second one looks good.
You haven't seen the... You should see the first one. No. I don't know that the second one is going to be good.
Maybe. Should I see that or Tommy Boy first?
Dude.
Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy.
For show.
1,000%
I think
Tommy
there's
Boy.
Christmas in Tommy Boy anyway, so...
And I'm
Does
really...
Does that make Tommy Boy a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
Oh, totally. And I'm getting pissed at you guys because you're not watching Vikings. I really need you
to
guys to catch up on Vikings with me. I'm almost done with season one. You need to do this. Like, this is it's a great series.
I got
so far.
Other shows in line.
I'll check it out.
I don't care about
I'm you, halfway. You, I can't. Listen. I got to finish the OA first.
Be a team player.
Well, guys, I'm out.
Thanks
Tyler,
for coming, brother.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
I'll see you next week.
We got a half hour to go at Shock and Barry. It's the Houston game day on the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
No Fred, no AJ. Shock and Barry with you for another half hour. And Lamont chipping in that if your Christmas stories don't include the tongue on a pole scene, you'll know good TV.
Oh, the double dog dare you.
I mean, that's the same scene.
Yeah, but that part, I think, is what the gift that he sent out. But
agreed.
That whole scene is amazing. Agreed. Is that your favorite scene from the movie?
There's a lot of little things about that. His old
about
man going down in the basement to curse out the furnace.
Yeah.
We didn't have a furnace, but that reminded me of my dad a lot.
Yeah.
Also, when Ralphie beats the holy hell out of Scott Farkas.
You're so wrong for that.
And that's kind of cool for Andy Dalton, I guess. He gets to play here, take that L on Sunday and go home to mom's for Christmas Eve. I assume he's going to stay in Katy. Wouldn't that suck if the Bengals like said, no, you need to fly home with us as a team?
Yeah.
And then
I
you can
see you on the plane.
And you can fly back to Houston.
I wonder if they would do that.
I imagine he has a home in Ohio.
Yeah, but you think they would do that? Make him...
I would hope not.
I don't know.
It depends on
it's the no fun league after
like,
all.
Let's say it's a bad loss,
right? Which it probably it could be.
And let's
with the starters. I mean, with missing Burfict and Eifert and Bowling, it could be.
Let's say
AJ Green is back. By the way, he might play.
Let's say that it's a bad loss and he plays the part of Eli Manning from last night's game in said loss. Let's say he throws four bad picks.
Okay.
And he is the primary reason why they lose that game.
He has to ride.
Is it fair to let him stay here?
No, you've got to ride that plane back.
With his Scooby-Doo curtains and sheets, whatever it is you had.
Star Wars. Scooby-Doo.
Andy Dalton's too young for Star Wars stuff, probably. What? But, I think you make him fly home and then make him fly back here.
But if he wins.
If he wins, you let him do what he wants.
Why? Because it means nothing.
It means nothing. You've ruined their draft pick. You definitely make them fly home then.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of cool, though. I mean, you can be here for Christmas Eve, I guess. I bet that doesn't work out, obviously, for most guys. As much as they travel.
True.
As much as they're away from home.
That's true.
Something like that to work out.
They probably don't end up in their hometown on Christmas or the day before playing football. That's true.
Does it ever pay off more in the NFL at Christmas time than it pays off to be an offensive lineman for a successful skill player? You always hear these stories about a quarterback, giving the offensive line Rolexes, or a running back gives his O-line Rolexes for Christmas.
Right.
If they, the two stories that I saw today, Ezekiel Elliott of the Cowboys, Joe Flacco of the Ravens, gifting their offensive linemen in a pretty extravagant ways. And this is, for Flacco, man, pretty 21st century. He gave all 14 offensive linemen on the Ravens a virtual reality system on Friday, 2 days before Christmas. He wouldn't divulge how much he spent, but the conservative estimate's $42,000.
Wow.
He gave all 14 of his linemen, who, by the way, haven't protected him well. Imagine if they actually did their job and kept Joe upright.
Yeah, it's probably the only thing in there is like a defensive line, and you've got to virtually block them.
Empty box.
It's really just a trainer.
That's kind of what they do anyway.
Yeah.
And then every Cowboys offensive lineman received a John Deere utility terrain vehicle from Ezekiel Elliott, who also drove one of the vehicles around the team's complex. It's the John Deere 855D S4 for those of you here in Houston.
no doubt you know what that is, starts at just more than 16,000.
Damn, and he bought how many?
He bought, how many is it, 16 of them? He bought a wall. I mean, if Flacco had 14, I'm sure
yeah,
the
he probably
Cowboys
had about
close
14.
To that.
I'm pulling, so it's a gator, obviously.
Yes.
The John Deere utility is a gator. Oh, wow, I just pulled it up. Well, this is, you said it's the 854. This is the 855.
Right.
Retail price starting at $14,000.
Correct.
These bad boys get up to 32 miles an hour. That's crazy. It's got like a little truck bed in it, which I don't know what that's for.
Oh, see, then I don't know how many Zeke gifted. They said the Ravens O-lineman, 9 on the active roster, 2 on injured reserve, and 3 on the practice squad. So he didn't
Yo,
just...
Yo, practice squad
came
got
out
it?
Of, yeah, came out of their meetings to find Oculus Man. Rift and Alienware systems in front of their lockers. They sell for about $3,000 each.
That's like inviting the Sunday show to the big game party. That's crazy.
Rick Wagner, right tackle. I just want to see if I can turn the damn thing on.
Yeah.
So you have to have a 5-year-old. To figure that out.
Of course. You have to have a kid that can help you with that. Otherwise, it's just a big, big calculator like or something you hang your clothes on.
You never hear about, I don't know, Adam Vinatieri gifting the holder.
The long snapper?
A Rolls. The
yeah,
long
why
snapper.
Is that?
You know, who are the best punters in the NFL?
Shane
your
Leckler.
Your boy here, Shane Leckler.
You watch
is
your
he
mouth.
Gifting the long snapper. You
no,
know,
but he needs to be gifting the gunners to get down there and down the ball inside the 5.
Because they're handling his average.
That's right.
His net average.
That's right. Do it.
There needs to be more of that in the NFL.
You think so? You think that translates to like the corporate world where you give the accountants a little extra, a little bump?
No? Unofficially, I think they find ways. I mean if you're like a CEO or a chief financial officer.
You get them a little.
And your accountant has found ways to hide money.
Yeah.
In offshore accounts.
You better share some with it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Or you'll get in trouble.
In fact, if I'm the accountant, I'm picking out my own gift. Yeah. This is what I
hey,
would
I
like.
Saved you this much and I got me this.
This is what you're getting me
yeah.
for Christmas this year.
Without a doubt.
Thank you. And I have another copy
yes.
of this stuff.
I have the books on tape, as a matter of fact.
Andrew Jacobs tweeting in, bestiality and cereal, a tasty combo. What did we miss there?
What the hell?
Bestiality. What did we miss?
I'm not sure.
I don't know either. We were.
Do I need to look at the? Oh,
listen to the podcast.
Oh, huh. Scooby Doo. That's the Scooby Doo.
Nothing to do with Daphne and
well,
Velma.
They're tickling his chin very provocatively.
You derive that from a still a photo a still drawing. It was a photo of Velma and Daphne.
Well, did you see his eyes? They're very. They look aroused.
I must admit, when you were stumbling around here without your glasses on, you did remind me of Velma a little bit in every episode where she loses her glasses.
every
apparently goes
episode.
Completely blind.
Yeah, apparently so. That's I do feel like that. I feel like I'm with them on. These progressive lenses are not a thing that I'm digging. And you know, I had to pay out of pocket almost $400 for these.
Yeah.
Not good. I'm not digging this.
Well, as I'm sure you know,
mm-hmm.
even though it's Christmas and we have mainly been talking Christmassy stuff.
Yeah.
There is hoops tonight. Your Rockets are at Memphis.
I am excited.
Trying to make it 2 in a row.
Digging
On
it.
Sunday, we talked about this week. I thought this would be the tough one to win. You didn't really specify, but I think you think San Antonio Tuesday would have been the tough one.
Yeah, no. Well, you asked me. You said, so they had 10 in a row. And on Sunday, you were
Could
like.
They finished 13.
And I said, who do they have? And you said San Antonio. And what was my immediate
At
response?
Home.
Nope.
Well, you just said it'll be tough.
Well, no, I said nope as soon okay. as you said San Antonio.
Fine.
Yeah.
You said that.
I did.
You
did. I know.
Tonight at Memphis.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
I think this is a team that they can beat, obviously.
Obviously, because they're not undefeated.
Well, if you would ask me that about the Warriors and the Spurs, I'd say, they'll probably have a tough time beating either of those teams. But this, I mean, Memphis isn't world beaters. They've lost 12 games already this year. But they do present some matchup problems for the Rockets, especially with Clint Capella out.
Mm-hmm.
D'Antoni said that Montrezl Harrell is going to start. They want to be able to push the tempo against the Grizzlies, which I think is smart. It's a big team. They like to slow it down. The Grizzlies, you know, the Grizzlies are going to be give you a good barometer of how this team would fare in the playoffs when it does slow down a bit, or if it slows down a bit. Which I don't know if that's 100% the case anymore with teams like Golden State in the playoffs, and even the Cavs, they don't play a slow it down half court game either. So this will give you an idea, though, of how they would match up with a team like that.
There are five games on Christmas Day, and for many people like myself, it's the first day that you turn.
I know you do.
You tune in earnest, but I don't even know. Like Celtics Knicks does nothing for me. That's the 11 a.m. tip. That's the first game of the quintuple header.
Bulls, on Sunday?
Yeah. Warriors Cavaliers at 1:30.
Okay. Yeah. Warriors Cavs at 1:30.
I'd be on that. Maybe the halftime I'll stop.
So that'll be the first basketball game you've seen this year?
If I watch it from beginning to end, yeah. I think I've seen possessions. I could count the amount of NBA I've watched in possessions.
That's not good.
No, because it just, again, it does nothing for me. When you play that long of a schedule, I get, oh, baseball's 162. When over half of your league makes the playoffs, it renders a lot of the regular season moot. Or in your terms, mute.
You're just a hater. I'm a hater
over here.
Especially with the Rockets, the fact that you live in this city, you should be watching the Rockets.
Should I?
You should be. It's a fun basketball team, and I said it this week. And you have until
I'm not
26th.
Jumping on. Yeah, I know. Until the final Phoenix, buzzer.
That's right. When the Phoenix Suns game is over with, the bandwagon is officially closed.
If you're not
on by then, I don't want to hear you guys out there, and you, Shock included.
I look at it from this perspective. I couldn't do that.
Why?
As I just couldn't.
As a Sixers fan?
I would feel, not even that I'm a Sixers fan. It's that I'm not here. It wouldn't matter who I rooted for. I would feel stupid jumping on the bandwagon with a team that's winning. I can't roll that way.
Okay. Well, I respect that. I respect that.
I mean, I hope you win.
It's more for the Houstonians that have always been Rockets fans, but only when they win.
Sure.
You know, I did this 2 years ago with the Astros, if you recall. On game day.
That's right.
As the Astros were turning the corner, I said, okay, guys, here's the deal. You have until July. You have until the All-Star break to get on the Astros bandwagon, and then it'll be too late. And then, you know, you get guys that come in late, and they look like fair-weather fans. So now's your time.
That said, I would love to see them win, especially playing the brand of ball that they play. It's not this plotting brand of defense and pounding everybody in the lane. They play an exciting brand of basketball. The amount of threes that they're shooting and making is on path for another historic performance.
They have four of the top 10 three-point field goal shooters by makes, by volume in the NBA. Four in the top 10.
And I would just mean, I've been here pretty much 14 and a half years. I'd like to see the city win something. As hard as the diehard fans root for it,
yeah,
I'm not saying I want it for everyone. I want it for the people like yourself
that tend to
be there from the beginning through the end. There are people, believe it or not, who go to Toyota Center.
There are. Yeah, they seem to be sparse as of late, but there are. And the funny thing is, I hear people, and I've seen this online before, but it rings true. We love in this town to Clutch City, you know, two championships. And I saw that being compared to a Cowboys fan who brings up their Super Bowls and the fact that they haven't won. And it's like, yeah, it would be nice to get another one because right now it just looks desperate. Bringing that up.
We can talk about that. We can also finish off the NBA Christmas Day special on the other side of this break. It's Shock and Barry. Houston Game Day on the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz. The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Shock and Barry with you here for just another segment. And we were talking about the NBA Christmas Day schedule. I'm pretty much saying I can ignore Celtics-Knicks, ignore Clippers-Lakers, the three games in the middle. You're telling me in the break the T-Wolves suck, but I still want to see Wiggins. I still want to see Karl Towns.
Yeah,
going against, and OKC's no great shakes either. No. I mean they're better than I thought they'd be, but
Westbrook right now is MVP
for sure. I mean that alone would be reason.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. Man.
I don't want to see Rubio play him straight up though.
As much as I don't like him, he's one of those guys where I think, you know, if he's not on your team, I mean, he's a great basketball player and he's fun to watch, but also he kind of gets under my skin. Not a big fan.
Let's take a quick call. Troy, you want to get in an Astros call. Welcome to the Blitz. What's up?
Good evening. How you guys doing?
We're hey, what's
good,
up, man. Troy? How's it going, man?
Hey, I just, yeah, I'm on Astros bandwagon. I always have been. But my question is what do you guys think it's going to take to get them over the top this year? And how far do you really think they'll make it with the acquisitions they've made this year with the new catcher? And I really still think we need a big-time pitcher, but I think we'd have to give up too much to get it. But what are you guys' thoughts? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Troy. I would have loved to have seen them make a run at Encarnacion. I think him at Minute Maid would have been ridiculous as it is. He goes to Cleveland and may have got them right back into the World Series again.
Yeah, and I'm going to answer Troy's question, but did you see when Encarnacion announced the deal, the reason why he chose Cleveland?
I love it.
Because it was closer to the Dominican Republic.
Well, it's closer than Toronto.
What?
It's closer than Toronto.
Yeah, what the heck? That's like
13-hour drive.
That's the dumbest reason that you chose Cleveland over Dallas. I mean, literally, he didn't go with the Rangers or the other two teams that were in the running at the last minute was the Rangers and Oakland, the Athletics. Billy Beane was kind of pushing things. Had a shorter-term deal, but was making the money, trying to get the money right. But he chose, like, Oakland is a 2.5 hours. It's a 2.5 hour flight longer from Oakland to the Dominican than it is from Cleveland.
Toronto
what
to Cleveland.
What an asinine reason to even give people when you want to say, well, it wasn't about the money. He turned down money. Technically, he did. But no player is turning down money to go to Cleveland because it's closer to the Dominican.
Toronto
I'm not buying that.
To Cleveland's a 4.5 hour drive. So technically it is.
Toronto.
Who wants to play in Arlington?
No, but he chose it because it's closer closer than Dallas or Oakland.
Who
makes no sense.
Who wants to go play with an illusory organization like Texas? The Atlanta Falcons of baseball. Everyone's. I mean, really, who wants to go play in Arlington? Who wants to play in that heat?
Dude, it does get hot down there.
Get that. Them in Arizona, I would never. I mean, Major League money is what it is.
But to answer Troy's question, yeah, I think they're an ace away from getting deep into the playoffs. I think that they'll still make a run. That lineup, top
Quintana,
to bottom.
I think they made a run at Quintana.
I just wonder how much the White Sox are going to want. You know what I mean? Like their asking price has been pretty high because they can. So I don't know. Archer was, I don't know what, I haven't looked lately at the hot stove. Did Archer even land somewhere or is he still with the Rays?
He's still with the Rays.
But the bottom line is they need to go out and get an ace. I personally don't consider Archer an ace. I think he's a really good pitcher, but not the dominant ace that this team needs. But to me, that's what's left. I mean, you've got enough in that lineup from top to bottom to make it scary for any pitching staff in the American League. In fact, other than Boston, I think the Astros might be the team to beat, especially if they could just add a quality arm to their rotation to deepen it a little bit. But if they add an ace, then to me, going into that season, the Astros are the team to beat in the American
League. I don't think that ace is out there.
I don't either.
He's not out there. And if
he went away when he went to Boston, which makes Boston the perennial favorites.
They are what they are.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, typically on a Friday night, you would have Hoffman on,
I think it's
Hollywood,
Thursdays. But
one of the Blitz's signature gimmicks.
Hoffman on Hollywood. We don't have that. But instead, we're going to do Barry on Bollywood.
Fire it up.
It's beautiful.
I like this.
You like that?
I like it.
Well, Shaq, you're never going to believe this. But Sanjay Dutt has caused a mini flutter when he remarked that he was avoiding Ranbir Kapoor, who is now prepping to play him in a biopic. The film will be directed by Raj Kumar Hirani. And at an event in Delhi, Sanjay Dutt said, "Marry life, kaifi, interesting, hogi kai, Raju Hirani, saab. Yas, director, K.O. Pasandai Ranbir is playing me." I know, that's what I thought too. What? He wants to spend days and weeks with me, but I can't. I can't spend more than a half hour with anybody. I've been trying to avoid him. It's a difficult role for him to play. He's a fine actor, though. At a special screening of Dangal yesterday, Hirani, who was one of the invitees of Amir, said that Sanjay was joking about Ranbir. Sanjay said it jokingly. He has a habit of joking. Hirani went on to clarify that contrary to speculation, Ranbir is actually spending time with Sanjay. Thank God.
Well, I thought as dynamic a performer as he is, that part was a bit of a stretch. I think that was even beyond him.
You know,
there's very few guys that can.
If you know anything about Sanjay, you know that his acting chops aren't what they used to be.
I celebrate his entire catalog.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Big fan?
Yeah.
Any Christmas movies?
Huge.
Is he any Christmas movies?
No.
That's a great question.
In a word,
one,
no.
Yeah. And finally, Salman Khan says he hates Amir Khan. What? Salman Khan took to Twitter on Thursday night and wrote, "My family saw Dongle today evening and thought it was much better film than Sultan. Love you personally, Amir, but hate you professionally." Oh, man. Amir's dongle released on Friday. That sounds sexual. In India, but it's already getting rave reviews from critics and celebs alike. And on Thursday, Amir held a special screening for Salman's parents, as well as Ranbir Kapoor's grandma, Krishna. Mm. Yeah, I know, right? Sweet. That was nice. Replying to Salman's tweet, the old jovial Amir replied, "Being Salman Khan's salu and your hate, I feel only love. I love you like I hate you. Kissy face."
That does explain why.
That's deep, man. That's deep.
Sanjay did call Salman Khan arrogant. I get it now. There was a lot of.
Really?
Yeah, that was making the rounds in the Bollywood community. I guess they were playing word association.
Oh.
Recently, Sanjay was asked about Salman Khan. He simply said, "Arrogant," and now I get it.
Yeah, you.
So I said both sides of the story.
You team Salman or team Amir?
I am team Amir.
All right. Well, you picked the wrong team.
With all my heart.
I'm Team Salman and Ranbir.
Make me hashtag it.
I like Ranbir. That's a good name.
It's like near beer?
No. It's like go get some beer.
Craft beer?
I ran for beer, okay. I guess. I don't know. All right. That's Barry on Bollywood.
Good stuff.
That was pretty sweet.
Yeah. I think we need to do that
every Sunday. That's a good thing. I'm caught up now. You know? I'm caught up.
Wonder how much Bollywood news there is. It's probably a good thing it's a good thing that we're slept on, that we're only on one day a week, because I don't think we can do that every day.
Half of my show prep was trying to just decipher all of the Bollywood news.
Yeah.
And reading, nothing will make you feel more uneducated than reading Punjab, I guess is what it is.
I'm going through the message boards at pinkvilla.com.
Ooh,
with a story about Sanjay calling him arrogant.
Ooh.
And basically saying he's not a good friend. Salman is obviously arrogant and a bully. Salman is a bad friend.
He's a bully. Bad friend?
Yeah, and Sanjay needs to get a life. So I'm seeing both sides of it.
Are you?
There's Team Sanjay and Team Salman.
Well,
and it's one of those things, B, where you already are what you are. That story is going to make you.
Good.
It's not going to make you change your mind on Sanjay.
They're beatable. That's a good take.
You know what I'm saying?
You are what you are.
You are what you are.
This team is beatable. I get it.
There's nothing in that story.
Hot take Friday on the Blitz.
Yeah, it's not going to make you change your mind.
I'm with you, because you know what? I didn't understand either of those stories. I had no idea what the hell I just read you. I mean, not a clue. It's funny because I
thought you were serious.
I guess this is the Punjab version of Spanglish, because as I'm reading, like, Merry Life, Coffee, Interesting Hoagie, Saab, Jasser, Post on, and all of a sudden they'll just have, like, phone. Just out of nowhere, you're like, I guess there's not a word for phone.
Is it in italics?
No, it's just this phone, okay. or it'll just say blah blah director. Okay, all right.
Well, now we know.
Yeah,
for future reference, if you and I are ever here doing the Blitz again,
you know what? I can speak Punjab. Watch
Barry
phone.
Barry on Bollywood.
I'm a genius
is coming along for the ride.
You're damn right it is.
Jose, what do you think, man? First time doing the Blitz. How you feeling?
I liked it.
Did you have fun?
You have the shakes over there.
No.
You good?
You did a fantastic job today, my man.
Thank you.
There was no intern tonight, correct? It was just you.
Yeah, there's an intern.
What's his name?
Let me ask him.
Oh,
Holy hell. He's been here 3 hours.
I passed him out there, but I didn't know. Yeah. Oh, I thought
was it
you
Gio?
Guys.
I saw Gio.
No, it wasn't Gio. Gio was doing something else completely. Man, I.
Jake.
Who?
Jake.
I thought you said Sanjay. I'm like, oh my God, we were talking about him.
Holy
He's
crap.
Right over there.
Oh, I'm switching to Team Sanjay now. All right. Yeah. Dude, I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
I probably won't see you in the new year. I'm glad that we are back on Houston Game Day. I'm glad we're doing our thing, man. It's a pleasure working with you all year.
Onward and upward.
Yes, sir.
Big ups to Jose for sticking it out. Tyler
Merry
Scott
Christmas, Jose.
For stopping by. Trey for calling in. For Barry Laminack, my name is Mike Liebeschock. This has been The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Merry Christmas to you. We will see you in the new year. Good night.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.